You're tuned into Actors, a podcast where I, Anthony Cuellar, speak with some of my favorite artists and friends on the scene today in New York and worldwide. Welcome back to Actors. For episode 3, I have not one, but two guests here with me in studio, Sam and Austin of Sissies of Mercy. You may also know Sam and Austin by their DJ names, Fruit Bat and Vile Blood, respectively. The duo describe Sissies of Mercy as a joint effort, obsessed with celebrating those who lurk in the shadows. The duo seamlessly blend genres during their sets, creating a sense of chaos, nostalgia, while not taking themselves too seriously. Next up, the duo play alongside Legends Light Asylum at Paragon this April 27th. And with that, on with the show. Welcome, Austin. Welcome, Sam.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Excited to get to talk with you about what we do and
whatever
what we're inspired
we
by. Whatever we do.
It's an honor to be here, though.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you.
That's funny because, like, I think part of the music and aesthetics are, like, dark and mysterious, right? So we're kind of getting behind the veil a little bit.
Totally.
We're not that scary, I don't think. I'm Austin. I go by DJ Vile Blood, if you are a follower of Sissies.
I'm Sam. I go by Fruit Bat, and I'm the other half of Sissies of Mercy.
So to get the housekeeping things out of the way, mm-hmm. we have to talk about where you're from and, like, how your journey was to New York.
I originally grew up in Connecticut, and then I moved to Boston for art school, which is where we both met. We both met in the major of doing fiber art. And then we moved here after living together for a few years, and now we've been living together for, like, what, 6 years now? But I've always wanted to live in New York. I think I just, like, wanted to be in Boston first as, like, my first city, because it was kind of intimidating just, like, moving to New York right away.
Did you grow up with, like, around a lot of music? What was it like in your homes?
For me, like, I think a lot of, like, modern Christianity is super tied to music. It's definitely, like, the complete antithesis of what I listen to now, which I think is obviously connected in a lot of ways. But I grew up with, like, being in the choir. My grandpa taught me piano. There was always, like, church music on at home or classical music around me. So I, like, definitely had a really deep connection to music from a really early age. I loved, like, singing. I learned how to play the flute in middle school. I just, like, was looking for all of these opportunities to express myself creatively, and music felt like the easiest way of doing that. So I think I'd always had, like, a really big interest in that. I just didn't know how I wanted to communicate with it for a very long time, which is a really cool kind of full circle relationship to have with what I'm doing now, I guess.
For me, I definitely, like, grew up with, like, parents and, like, adults that really loved music. Like, whenever I was, like, getting picked up from, like Sunday school, like, Hebrew school, like, my dad would just, like, be playing just old, like, 80s music or, like, random, like, stoner music in his car. So I remember listening to, like, a lot of, like, Pet Shop Boys on the way, like, home from Hebrew school. And I think that's, like, what kind of, like, got me interested in, like, just listening to music and, like, kind of opened up, like, a new route of, like, escapism for me as, like, you know, a child and, like, being in my adolescence and having a lot of angst. And my mom's boyfriend would just, like, leave on, like, classic rock radio a lot. So that kind of, like, got me interested in, like, kind of shitty, like, dad rock to, like, start out with, which kind of turned into, like, more so, like, metal and, like, emo type stuff. But then after that, I kind of found a little bit of taste, at least I like to think, during, like, high school, and was, like, listening to a lot more, like mall gothy kind of, like, little bit cringe type music, but that was the age for it. And yeah, I've always been, like, when I was, like, in my teens, I'd always, like, walk around with, like, a speaker, just, like, playing that shit really loud and, like, bothering everyone. So it's kind of funny that I still kind of do that.
Yeah, but in, like, big sound systems.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You described, like, such, you know, some of, like, the religious music and, like, metal bands and, like, mm-hmm. Was it hair metal? Like, classic rock?
Yeah, it was a lot of, like, classic rock.
So did that play into some of the aesthetics and some of the choices?
Yeah, for me, I'd like had a really big like Ozzy Osbourne phase. Oh. I was obsessed with like Black Sabbath, mm-hmm. Which like kind of like turned me into like more like, oh, listening to, you know, like the Mall Goth type music, darker aesthetic type stuff. Yeah, that's definitely like still down the road, like very like apparent in mm-hmm. what I play and like what I choose to aesthetically like look like, I guess.
Yeah.
So it had its effect.
I think for me, Sam did a lot of shaping for this, actually. Like one of the first moments that we shared together. So I always like, or at least by the time that I met Sam, I had a lot of interest in like religious subversion, obviously, and mm-hmm. trying to like reclaim my life outside of the grasps of my family as an early adult that I was like finally able to have access to. And I was in art school and I was doing a lot of work to just like understand myself and understand where I come from and like how I got to the exact place that I am in terms of like just like how I think and how I want to be and how that's in opposition to like so much of what I was told to be when I was growing up. And then I was just in a class, I think I was reading a poem or something that was just like something sort of autobiographical about like growing up religious and how it was filled with trauma or something like that, like 19-year-olds do when they're in college and want like everybody to talk mm-hmm. about their piece and feel emotional about it or whatever. But Sam came up to me afterwards and was like, oh, if this is like a thing that you're interested in, this was before we became friends or mm-hmm. anything, this was like yeah. one of the first conversations we ever had, he was just like, you would love this band called Christian Death, which is just like 80s like
trad goth, like yeah. wailing, like death rock music. Yeah.
But all of the lyrics were so, like very so religious. Deeply twisted yeah. and like subversive and yeah. like really, really, really spoke to me in like the quickest way that I think music had ever had that capability to do for me. And I think like in that moment, I just like saw myself falling down to rabbit hole and like, I guess it was the right one.
Yeah.
I'm still like enjoying everything that I find now. And I think like Sam really unlocked that door for me, which is like one of the coolest things to get to share like on this side mm-hmm. of things with him.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. It's funny because like what you've just described and even just the aesthetics that you both have chosen with the techno scene, it kind of all like makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of borrowed and even like religious iconography.
Absolutely. No, totally. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we talk about how like most techno we hear mm-hmm. and enjoy and listen to right now has like such obvious and like clear references yep. from that culture and like from those aesthetics and yep. just like, I don't know, so much of these like quote unquote goth ways of like thinking and just ways of like aestheticizing and romanticizing all of these like dark desires and fantasies mm-hmm. and kind of like that whole realm of things has just been like so clearly the starting point for so many of the like
yeah.
huge techno things that everybody loves and enjoys mm-hmm. and like I don't think a lot of people kind of spend time realizing that there's such a close mm-hmm. connection, but I think that's like my favorite part about what we do now.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like there's a lot of like context that people can like kind of like miss out on with like a lot of like the bigger just like world of like techno and like just taking something for as like straightforward as it is and not seeing that there's so many different references and like history that goes into like something that someone makes. Yeah, especially with like the stuff that we are like playing around with now. And I feel like some people hear that and they're just like, oh, I'm hearing like a techno track right now. But like when we hear like what we play, we're seeing like all of that context and like background into it, we're like, oh, I know, like you're referencing like a certain like person that's playing around with like synths and like this like type of music and like mm-hmm. or even certain like songs being sampled, and people are like, some people don't know, and I feel like we love to just like find the context and yeah. like how everything is really related in that sense and like pushing it forward and pushing like the genre of just like techno forward, which is like really cool. So
yeah, I feel like I agree with you, and I've kind of felt that in just seeing like the way that you've like the visuals that go along mm-hmm. with your party and, mm-hmm. and like the even the images you choose, it does contextualize it, mm-hmm. and I feel like it's definitely missing from even the techno scene. Like, what I don't even know what the visuals exactly, because it's,
yeah,
I feel like it's just borrowed from so many other areas. Like industrial music is kind of like blurs. It's like you can hear it at like a quote unquote goth night or like.
Well, that's the coolest part of it is that like we hear a song, we hear like the drum and the rhythm and all of that. You hear the patches on the synthesizers and so on, and then you hear like vocals for 3 seconds from like a sci-fi movie from the 60s or like really quick clip from a really iconic like scene in a movie or something. And like that is a thing that's happening in a lot of like techno and dance music now, but it's a thing that like Frontline Assembly and Front 242 were doing in the 80s when they were like making industrial music a thing that happened. So there are all of these ways that like roots take place in one thing and then like don't even get uprooted. They just continue to like live on in little like other
referencing
ways,
each other
really
and
cool.
like referencing a reference and a reference. And that's how like a lot of these people have like and create the music where they have like what they have now. Like it's all like referencing a reference, which is like really cool to see how far that has kind of come.
You mentioned before that Sam kind of brought you into the fold. Like, what was that? Was it always like, we're going to have a party or we're going to DJ or is it like we're going to start a band? What was like kind of the
I think I was just
board?
Like showing her like a lot of the music that I was listening to because I like you didn't have like the kind of like references that I had.
No.
So it was just like opening like a world of like, hey, there's this like genre that I really enjoy and like this is what I listen to. So at the time when we first started living together, we were sharing a room. So we had a mattress on each side of this little room and like I would get ready to like go to work and stuff and just like be playing music out loud. Like we didn't, there was like a time when we first started living together that we didn't go out like a lot. Like that wasn't a part of our like life yet.
Well, you hadn't been 21 yet.
I was a child basically. I was like very young. So my only escapism was like listening to the music that I wanted to hear. So then we, you know, living together, just, like, talk about it and, like, listen to music together and, like, share those moments together, so.
Do you feel like it's a genre that's accessible to most to people, or do you sort of,
I think
of
they
like,
find out that it is a lot of the time. I think that's some of the feedback that we've just gotten from people who have experienced our night. Like, I think a lot of people don't realize how widespread the roots of the things that we love are and how, like, far-reaching so many of those sounds are. And I think there's this kind of thought that there will be like this certain amount of like sadness that'll be communicated or this certain amount of just like angstiness. And I think there's so much like joy within that that people are really surprised to hear and like to experience with us. And I think that's one of the really like special things that we've gotten to do while we're together, like is just like show people how multifaceted these ideas and these like subcultures that people want to like either be part of or pull reference from or like stake some claim in. Like I think there's such a big amount of diversity that like kind of gets flattened a lot of the time that we're able to just like show new textures of, and I think that's really special.
How did you both learn to DJ? Like what was that journey like?
So when I started learning, I was basically like teaching myself. We were going out a lot in Boston for a while, and we enjoyed like the nights that we would go out to. There's a very like limited amount of things. It's mostly like DIY stuff. And I was still listening to like a lot of the music that I enjoyed, but a lot of the time it was like a different type of like techno that I wanted to see myself more in. I wanted to like bring my own, I wanted to, you know, play my own references and like make my own stuff at that time. So I was like, oh, let me take the leap from just going out and experiencing the thing that I really love to do that brings me a lot of joy and see like what I could do with it. So I just bought a like one of the laptop like decks and I just started like teaching myself basically, and then you ended up kind of like learning from me.
Yeah, so Sam like definitely had the first interest in terms of like taking it into his own hands. I think like during that time period I was really invested in my visual art practice, so I was spending a lot of time like physically making things mm-hmm. all the time. And then when Sam launched the first few iterations of the party that were just mm-hmm. like a very casual sort of like, let me see if this is going to be a thing that will work. I'm not going to totally put my name on this yet, but it's, I just want to mm-hmm. like put this idea out into the world. Like I was obviously going to be there for my best friend. Mm-hmm. So I was like kind of tapering off on my art practice because it was the middle of the pandemic mm-hmm. and I was just feeling really depressed. And then I started coming out to Sam's nights mm-hmm. and just like being involved with him, and I would do all the hospitality stuff mm-hmm. and just like make sure all the like guests were taken yep. care of. And I would do all of those like silly behind the scenes things. So we just had this conversation after a while, and he was like, well, you play with the decks at home quite a bit and you obviously don't have a bad taste in music yeah. if like we're pulling from the same references mm-hmm. and you also show me music that I end up enjoying. Yeah. Like, you should just
like go figure.
Give this a try. So like I think about a year after the party itself had started, we were doing like the first anniversary party. Mm-hmm. We moved venues and Sam was like, okay, I think you've like mm-hmm. been practicing. I know that you will do well. You should just like
try it out.
So I tried it out and I have been kind of taking it
huge
on in the
part of it
way
now.
That Sam has been yeah. since then. And it's been really special to like,
yeah.
watch a creative practice turn into something else really organically. Mm-hmm. And it like feels really good that I still get to make things in a type of way, even if that's mm-hmm. more ephemeral in the way that I'm just like making space with other people now. But it's been really special to like see the things that I do have a positive impact on other people. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's always been the thing that like drove an art practice for me. So I think it just became a new avenue that I like yeah. didn't know I could explore until Sam kind of like opened up the fact that people do work when they're on the DJ booth. Mm-hmm. It's not just like a room full of people dancing. And it was really like, I don't know. I'm grateful that Sam taught me that. It's shown me so much about like what I enjoy, what I want to listen to, how I think mm-hmm. about music. And it's been really, like really special to get back into a like positive relationship with music after sort of like slowing down on investing in the like musical practices I'd grown up with, mm-hmm. I guess.
Interesting. Does that make its way to, like, because you said you learned flute, right? Like,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
other instruments. Do you kind of, like, pepper that into your sets, or?
I think more is, like, an ideal. I think I definitely have a lot of, like, sounds that I really, like, find mm-hmm. myself drawn to. So I find myself, like, scouring the internet for, like, certain sounds that I feel really attracted to, or, like, certain, like, tones and things that I find myself really attracted to. I think, like, one of my goals this year is to get back into learning how to play piano just for myself so that I can have, like, a personal music practice. But it's mm-hmm. really cool that, like, being a DJ has been the thing that's informed this, like, dormant love of mine to want to come back and to want to, like, develop into new and other things. So it's really, like, nice to have a give and take in that kind of way, I think.
What was that space like for you, I guess, to present this party? Was there, like, a market for it, do you feel? Or was it like, was it hard to like kind of find your space, or you just like had the first night and people showed up?
I mean, I had the first night and like a lot of people showed up, like more than I could have ever expected, really. Mm-hmm. But like, I was just like, I want to try this thing out that I've been wanting to do for probably like years mm-hmm. now. And the reception was really great. And it's been like really nice being able to like kind of like grow, and like people, I feel like, don't always accept growth from artists. There's like kind of a way that people want like one specific thing from someone, mm-hmm. but the crowd has definitely like allowed us to grow with like our sound, which is really such an honor, and like really thankful that people are able to like follow along with us and like see like us referencing like the past mm-hmm. in like a way of like the sounds that we get to play with now. But yeah, like there's definitely been like a huge amount of like growth between like taking it from just being like a party and like us being like a DJ duo, because mm-hmm. that's essentially what the party was. It was like us doing our sets like all night with like a guest, and being able to take ourselves like outside of just like the party and like being added on like other lineups to like, you know, do our sets for like other nights, which is really cool. We started doing that a lot more within like the past year, and it's been really great.
Yeah, I've definitely seen you on some lineups, which is like exciting to see that space grow for both of you. So this is like an interesting question. I'm not even sure how to phrase it, but do you feel like, because I grew up in Hudson Valley, and like for me, like wasn't out, was didn't even know like anything about myself, but there was like a club night called, it was an 80s night, and it would be like very like industrial, goth, 80s, synthy, and all this stuff. And like I feel like for me, that's been almost like a gateway for me to kind of explore my identity and like find my space. Is that something that you both have felt like personally and like professionally? Or
so wholeheartedly. Yeah. I think like it's not a big part of our senses of self at this point, but I think like towards the beginning of the party, like right at its inception, like so much of the excitement was, or so much of the excitement for us in those moments was like, oh, we finally get to re-experience the process of like getting ready and feeling like ourselves. Like in that like quarantine was winding down moment where you just like had been wearing the same thing for like 4 or 5 days because there was no reason to change what you were wearing. We both got like so excited about that ritual of like stepping back into yourself, even if it's like not the only version of yourself that you have. So I think like especially at the beginning, it was so much about like reclaiming ourselves and like
your sense of self,
remembering who we are and remembering the things that we want to be and remembering the things that we love. And I think like as we've matured, maybe we feel like we're able to communicate that without necessarily like
transfers into the sound more now rather like into like whatever goes into like the mix, you know, with like sounds and like whatever we're referencing, rather than like getting into a full look and be like, this is how I'm gonna be like perceived and how I want to like feel and experience. And I think it's like we're kind of like taking the step back into like, okay, it's like less about like looking a certain type of way, because like for the most part, like the people who come to our sets or like our night dressed to like the max, and it's so cool to see that, because like we're like, okay, like y'all can have this space that we wanted to have for ourselves at first too, but we're like taking the step back and like they can experience it through that and like the sound, but we're just like we're focusing more like just on the sound and like experiencing that for like ourselves and really, you know, bringing that together. But it's really cool to like see people come to like our stuff and like dressed up, because that's really like a big part of it. Like before like we started, I really wanted to just get dressed up and like feel myself, and it was really hard to at that time. Like quarantine was really tough for everyone, and I feel like that's a period of time that people were just like really looking like deeply into themselves and be like, how do I get like this like gender euphoria again when I'm like not leaving the house and like getting to like find community. So like it was kind of like an explosion after quarantine of people being like, I get to experience like community and like the people I want to like be around and like find my like sense of self around other people, and like that's exactly what I wanted. So it's like every single time we do something, it's really just like such a gift to like see so many beautiful people getting to experience that together with us. So
yeah, I definitely feel like part of the journey and like kind of becoming yourself is like having space to experiment and express yourself. And like I mentioned, going to those 80s nights upstate, like, yeah, it was different. And it's kind of, it's cool that you've created a space for adults now, not just like me with a fake ID, like in New York City. It's really cool. Like you've carved a space out. Have you seen the, like, audience change? Because, I mean, you probably had, like, an intended audience, but I'm sure, like, a lot more straight people or whatever. Have you seen, like, a change in the time that you've had this party?
Yeah. I think it grows, right? Like, I think, like, one of the really cool things is that we're able to see people who we didn't know were in our audience, which is really cool. And, like, a lot of ways it is really, like, special that that audience is getting bigger, because I don't think the intended audience has gone away, which is really special. Like, I think
there's people that have been like, there since day one, and like we're friends with those people now too. We're like, oh my gosh.
Like, I think maybe sometimes I think like an influx of straight people all suddenly liking something and that leading to it becoming more successful is like a really weird kind of place to be in. So it's definitely not like a thing we feel like we want or need approval on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe so we'll be very clear when we're like sharing or talking mm-hmm. about the night that like everybody is welcome, but there are certain people who are going to be prioritized in yeah. this night, and that just like is a really important mm-hmm. facet of it for us. And I think it needs to be in order mm-hmm. to like create the magical space that we've been able to. We've been able to hear from so many people just like in person or in DMs that they're like able to make space within themselves to think about mm-hmm. things that they feel that they may not have been aware that they felt before. And like, we're not the reason that they're doing that, but just to be able to like provide a space that catalyzes those really important moments in mm-hmm. people's lives where they're able to just like understand or open new doors about themselves is like honestly one of the most like
it's so
transformational
cool.
yeah. and magical things that we've been able to do yeah. and is like it just feels like we're doing something good for the world mm-hmm. in that way. And I think like
and for ourselves to like have that space that it like reflects off of us that other people are going to be able to have that understanding for themselves too, like mm-hmm. it really is, like, it's so corny to say, but, like, the power of, like, music and community is just, like, so cool. And, like, to see that happening right in front of us is forever going to be so special and just, like, so grateful to, like, get to see that. So.
Yeah, I feel that 100%. It sounds cheesy when you say it, but when you hear it, like, no, it's so true. Like, there's no other way to kind of express that.
Mm-hmm. You've reached the afters after hours mailbox. I'm probably out at the club or catching up on some sleep.
Bonjour, softies. It's moi, Miss Softy, and I'm taking over a former ice cream factory with Outlaw in St. Bitches, Berlin on Friday, May 3rd. This will be Brooklyn Warehouse Extraordinaire. The function will feature three stages with confirmed talent, Berlin's legendary handmade and VCO, followed by the fashionable TT and LD, plus resident honeys, Cotton and Samuel Fish. More talent to be announced. Advanced tickets available on Resident Advisor. You heard?
Hi, and welcome back to Afters. Are there any genres that you haven't explored yet in your sets or mixes that you would like to?
I think there's a meme that's like, it goes around on all of the stupid like goth pages, but it's like a picture of like a pink clown and a black clown. And it's like inside of you, there are like two people.
Oh, yeah.
One is like sad and horny and the other is horny and sad or like something stupid like that. And I think that's like one of the really cool places where Sam and I split off.
Yeah,
so like
yeah.
when we think about like exploring in our future, like I'm trying to push myself to like experiment with a lot of noise music and with ambient music. And I think if I start making music, that's kind of the direction that I feel inspired mm-hmm. by. And then I have conversations with Sam about these like
yeah.
magical, insane, like old Italo songs mm-hmm. or these like incredible and like super moving disco songs mm-hmm. that he's found. So I think there are like
yeah.
two voices inside of our heads that are pulling us mm-hmm. in like the farthest directions possible. But I think like
yeah.
because of that, there's like
that's
so many
it's
worlds
so
for us to explore.
Crazy for mm-hmm. like just to experience like the party, the like difference between like both of our sets sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like we definitely have like just the end of like of the spectrum on like both sides. Like you might hear me play something really flamboyantly like gay disco-y like in the middle of playing like EBM and industrial, which is like mm-hmm. super macho and like mm-hmm. super aggressive, and I'm like playing like Give Me Tonight or something like that. And then it's like you're hearing the next hour, it's like just like exorcism, like you're in a church, like there's like like noises of like distress, and like you feel like the like hellfire is like opening mm-hmm. up, which is like it's such a crazy thing when we come together with like our the interests that we have,
yeah,
because they can be really opposite, but yeah, it's
more fun to like push yourself yeah. with someone when you can go back and forth with them.
Yeah.
So I think like when we're able to do our back-to-back sets, like, so many of them feel like conversations. And mm-hmm. I think, like, I don't know, within those conversations, I think, are all of the genres that we haven't been able to explore. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I think as time goes on, we find ourselves, like, pulling from more and more, like, vast places. So
yeah.
I feel like there are, like, so many things that come into our sets. So mm-hmm. I think it would be really cool to just, like, focus in on a couple of those mm-hmm. references rather than like letting ourselves be so all-encompassing in a lot of ways, maybe.
Yeah.
Do you ever like, I'm sure you just amp each other up, just like I can't believe you play
always.
That kind of thing.
Always. Oh, I'm like, we're dancing for each other. Like,
so funny.
We go off for like each other's sets, and it's like really magical to like also get to see like each other grow too, mm-hmm. and be like, oh, you're pulling that reference yeah. tonight. Like,
so you do, like surprise each other. Like, mm-hmm. love
yeah,
that.
It's amazing. It's yeah. so fun, and I'm like so thankful to have like. Just someone so talented. Like,
we have so many like musical inside jokes at this point
yeah.
because we've
oh my
like
gosh.
lived in the same house for almost 7 years mm-hmm. now, and we listen to a lot of music together
yeah.
and we always have, and like so many of our memories are tied to these like particular moments mm-hmm. where we heard this particular song together for
yep.
the first time and it
right.
just like hit us in this really
yeah.
special way, or like one song was the song that was like about our relationship for
mm-hmm.
a really long time and stuff like that. So I think
mm-hmm.
like we'll put little messages in for
yep.
each other sometimes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think that's one of the really
like
sweet ways
letter,
that like,
just, like
yeah,
music
can communicate. Like
yep.
sometimes we'll like close the night and my partner will be there. So I'll like pick one of the songs that like we share together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice that just like music can hit so emotionally
yeah.
in that way.
And hit so many like, different places from like so many different types of like genres too, like, and I think that's really cool that we get to like bring that all together and be like, oh, like we're having this special moment, and then like our like references that we're like, oh, we have this joke from how many years ago, and then like a whole crowd is like hearing this song and like maybe being like, oh my god, like I'm having a moment to this too now. So
yeah.
like to build different connections through like emotion and music, it's just like, oh, it's so cool.
I love it. One thing that we've started to do is like give the guests like a challenge to make a mix
mm-hmm.
of a genre they don't normally play. So maybe we'll hear something from one of those.
Mm-hmm.
It might just be a long letter to yourselves.
I think we were discussing it.
Yeah.
We were discussing it. We didn't want to go in like completely blind. I think it would be really fun for us since we have been getting more opportunities to be a little bit more serious
mm-hmm.
and a little bit more controlled and kind of like rein in and do this like very like capital T techno
mm-hmm.
sometimes and kind
mm-hmm.
of like engage with that mindset. I think we would really love to do like a funny campy disco
yeah,
house
like,
kind of just like
gay disco house mix.
Like, remember
like,
how fun
stupid,
music can
corny,
be when we're able to
like
have that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. No, we'd love to hear that.
Sam.
And it's, you know, it's just meant to be fun. So like
yeah.
have as much fun as you want with it.
We can have fun.
Yeah.
That's one of the few things we
that's
do well.
Why,
like,
that's why
you're not serious,
we started
like.
Doing this. Like we always say to each other, like, if we're not having fun, like if we're like experiencing something, like we're always like just kind of like a train wreck of emotions at all times. It's like,
yeah.
if we're not having fun, is it worth doing? No, it's not. So like we better keep having fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
when it's not
that.
Fun anymore, then it's not worth doing.
Totally.
So.
And in terms of if you could create your dream lineup, you can go as wild with it as you want, alive, dead.
We have
yeah,
this concept. There aren't names for the concept. Maybe we'll develop those.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of our dreams is to just, like, not be the only queer people on a lineup,
mm-hmm.
potentially. So, like,
we're just
we have these
T
dreams of, like, Dolls of Dark Dance type night, where it's,
mm-hmm.
like, everybody on the lineup is able to bring, like, their own full realized version
mm-hmm.
of self to that space. Like, I think, like, I don't know. There are so many names, obviously, that we're,
yeah.
like, inspired by and have been for a long time. But I think just, like, more than specific people, just being, like, with people
mm-hmm.
that we feel like are like us a little bit more than we're able to get. Like,
because yeah. a lot of the time, which is, like, besides our own, like, party, it's really not the case. Like, it's really, like, I don't know, it feels like we're a little bit of like the diversity there. It's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of like dudes on this lineup, and like, why are there no like other trans people? And I could get into like a whole thing about like specific genres of like club music and different music being for certain like audiences, but it's just like, I don't know, sometimes there's a lot of straight cis people on a lineup, and then there's us, and we've had people be like, this doesn't really make any sense.
Mm.
So, yeah, the dream is to, like, feel like we can be in sync with the other people that we're on lineups with sometime. And not that that's not the case, like, all the time. Like, we love everything that we're a part of, but we want to see, like, the other like trans people and like the other dolls, like giving everything that they have along there with us. So
because the aesthetics of like, you know, metal, goth, we talked about like sonically can be a barrier to entry, but do you feel like some people are scared? Do you think that queer people find it like intense, or is it just like people just anyone shows up, or
I think like a lot of it can be like hand in hand with like pop culture and just like the accessibility of like pop music, and that like, you know, a lot of like typical like the most like straightforward like gay night, it's like disco, it's like pop music. So like there's definitely like a big stretch and like difference between like what we play compared to that, even though there's still references that we have. Like we're playing like sometimes industrial Britney and like like not all the time, but you know, there's moments.
I feel like there's so many spaces that you both could play. Like I would love to see.
Well, I think that's one of the things that we're like doing as time goes on. So I think like, not to use foul language, I don't know if I can. We very much have like the mentality that like every time people experience us for the first time, mm-hmm. they fuck around and find out. Yep. Like, because I think that like since we've titled ourselves as like mm-hmm. a subversion on an 80s band,
yeah.
there's a whole,
if you don't know anything about us and you don't have the time to research what we're up to, mm-hmm. there are going to be assumptions made, mm-hmm. which isn't a bad thing. We're playing on that in the first place, but I do think that that has kind of like, on our own, limited a little bit of just like our entry mm-hmm. into some types of spaces, because I think there are like, I don't know, there are a lot of like really like hardcore, like more queer focused spaces like mm-hmm. Melting Point and parties like that that are very like DIY and like in a very different side of the culture. Mm-hmm. But like we also pull those references, but they don't realize that in some capacities just because they like hear our name and that feels like separate from like certain things, but we are breaking down those boundaries slowly and like making those connections and like building and growing, and we're working Melting Point, which is cool. That'll have already happened by the time this happens, but we're just like finally able to like make connections outside of kind of the pigeonhole that maybe we started from within,
Yeah, it's hard to like, you know, be like seen as like, so, like I was saying earlier, it's hard to like sometimes grow outside of like what people expect from you, and people like really like and enjoy expecting something from you where like they're like, oh, this is, your name is referencing something that's very specific, so you clearly are gonna like go along and be like perfect with that name. But it's like, well, when you do look into it, like there's the reference there, but like it's totally different from that. So
I mean, I can't name one Sisters of Mercy song. I just know kind of like
they're falling out of my head like the more time goes on, honestly.
But like good for you both to like stick with it too, because you could have easily just rebranded quote unquote and like changed your name, but like I think I definitely feel like there's, you're breaking down some barriers, and like it's great to see. Like,
thank you.
If we had changed our name, we wouldn't be able to risk that really incredible and awkward moment that happens sometimes where like people want to like refer to us professionally, but they don't totally know how to say us. So sometimes we'll be out and we'll be sitting places and someone will walk up and be like, oh my God, hi sissies.
Hi sissies.
And that's just one of those like incredible cognitive dissonance moments where you just see their expression change, and like that within itself is like reason to keep that moment just so that we can like,
or like we've
laugh
had
about that, like
people or like friends tell us that like they, when they want to say Sisters of Mercy, they can't say it anymore and they just think the name Sissies of Mercy.
So
I'm like, okay, well, branding well done then, like why throw that away?
I'm sure that they must have some awkward moments of like the metal guys you're trying to impress or whatever.
Oh, they're so funny.
I mean, you're a duo, so I usually ask people if what would be like a dream back to back. Have you done back to back as a duo before with someone else, or like?
Yes.
Oh, we
We did.
Yeah, we did.
We actually have a few, because we did it with our friend Boy.
Oh yeah,
which was really fun. Which was like, that happened in November, and it was like a kind of like a mix of like, he plays like a lot of like kind of like acid-y, like electro, and that was really fun to like play around with. And then we also did one with Andy from Synthicide at our Halloween event, And that was really fun too. So
thank you so much for stopping by. I feel like there's so much to digest from this conversation.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, it's so cool to be here. And just to take a moment to like reflect on what we're doing outside of the space that we do it within. I think it's really like kind of eye-opening for both of us just to like hear ourselves talking about how far we've come. So it's a really special like milestone moment for us in a lot of ways. Thank you so much.
Oh, honestly. Yeah, it's really an honor to like just be able to talk about ourselves. Like it's because we don't really like we're always kind of like hiding and like
you're always playing music too. You can't really have a conversation.
Yeah, we're very people kind of just like know us for like I don't know. We're just being together and like we're kind of like antisocial.
It was funny because when you played the secret door party, it was a tattoo party for those who weren't there. Really great artists. Like it was awesome. It was a good mix of like skaters, like techno, goth, like all these things. And yeah, I'd never met you before, so I was like, let me go say hi to them. And yeah, it was, I didn't know what to expect because like the music is so heavy, but you're both such like lovely, kind
very
of people.
Calm and very soft.
Yeah. but yeah, thank you for coming, and yeah, can't wait for the next party.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of Afters was produced, edited, directed by Anthony Cuellar, mastered by Khalil Rajwani, recorded by Tomas Skelly. Original music by Niccolo Bernardi, show art by Cisne, motion graphics by Waldo Baez. Afters was recorded with love in New York City. Subscribe and listen to previous episodes on your favorite podcast app now.